The title of my message is The Times of the End, the Antichrist. Times of the End, the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. The day of Christ is the time when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom and his throne upon the earth and destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet in the battle of Armageddon. And Paul is right in saying, don't think that's already happened. Don't get discouraged. He said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the fallen away come first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, the one the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Revelation 13:1. John the Revelator receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of that which is hidden, said this: I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw, like a leopard, his feet was like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his authority. And the Bible says that the dragon is the serpent of old, the devil, Lucifer himself. And I saw one of his heads as it was been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things of blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And all authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Revelation 13:16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Just the last week, I believe it is the History Channel, they had a series called The Nostradamic Effect. And they looked at different religions on the end time. The Mayas believe that the end time is going to be 2012. The Islam religion believes that there's going to be a great battle which will usher in a Messiah. They even brought in the church and they talked about the rapture. They talked about the end times. And they talked about Armageddon. Everybody seems to be talking about the end times. Today, when you leave this place, I hope through the word of God I've showed you that we are living in the last days. Told you I didn't think I'd get too many amens. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for each and every one that's here. I thank you for Evangel Church of God. You've called them for such a time as this. I pray, God, for your wisdom and your anointing to rest upon me. I pray, God, that you would anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive, and every mind to understand. God, let everything be said be for your glory. And God will never fail to worship and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, get ready. Throughout time, men have rose in this earth and people had declared this must be the Antichrist. People like Alexander the Great or Hitler or Mussolini, Napoleon, because they went out conquering and wanted to own the whole world. None of these could have been. And the reason is, according to the Bible, on the four horsemen, the first horseman representing the Antichrist went out to conquer. And he had a bow in his hand, but he had no arrows. The Antichrist will not conquer with force, but with words. And with them that follows him will he conquer. The Bible tells us that he wore 10 crowns, which represented 10 kingdoms that was not at that time, but 10 kingdoms that will rise up. The Antichrist will flow out of 10 kingdoms. Let me say this to you. Our president isn't the Antichrist. Governors are not the Antichrist. Can I tell you that the Antichrist is not going to come out of the United States? As a matter of fact, according to the word of God in prophecy, the United States does not play a big role in the end time. Oh, I didn't get too many amens there. But it will flow out of Europe and out of the East. The Antichrist will rise to power. How many here has heard of something called the Lisbon Treaty? If you have, lift your hand. Not too many. Isn't that amazing? Let me explain to you what the Lisbon Treaty, after you leave here, go home and Google it. And you know what I'm telling you is the truth. The Lisbon Treaty come from 10 nations. It first started in 1957. The TEC, or the treaty establishing the European Community, was signed. And it was signed in Rome. And it started with 10 nations. Isn't it amazing? It started in Rome. The revised Roman Empire. The treaty was revised, the Treaty on European Union, in 1992, because more countries have joined. And I want you to know it's 20-some countries in Europe that is now part of the European Union. A few years back, me and my brother went on a mission trip to the military, and we went to Germany and Switzerland and Italy. When we were in Switzerland, the lady there at the motel told us to hold on to the money, because by next year, it'll be worth nothing. And now all those countries are under one currency called the euro. Me and my wife went back just a few years later, and everything was done by the euro. We brought some back home. We still have it. We call it the Antichrist money. Now, in those countries, the money they once had means nothing. It is only under that one currency that they have. Can I tell you today that the dollar is nowhere to compare where the euro is. Right now, the euro is the number one currency in the world. Before, every currency was measured by the dollar, not anymore. As a matter of fact, people are taking dollars and buying euros. They're investing in Europe and in the euro because it's worth more money. Are you still with me? The Reformed Treaty is a treaty that was signed by the European Union, the EU member states, on December 13th, 2007. This was signed in Lisbon, so therefore it's called the Lisbon Treaty. Once again, more nations joined. Once again, they took it further. It entered into force, or it comes to fact, on the 1st of December, 2009. Today, the Lisbon Treaty is in fact. It is flowing. The European Union are flowing according to the Lisbon Treaty. Are you still with me? Prominent changes included more qualified majority voting in the Council of Ministers. In other words, the Council of Ministers will do more voting and have more voting power in what happens in the European Union. It gets better. Increased involvement of the European Parliament. In other words, the European Parliament can override the Parliament of any one single country. It gets better. The creation of a long-term president of the council or the European Council. Before this, the European Union was controlled by a council from every country or state, they call it. Starting the 1st of December 2009, there is a president, a single man who will lead the European Union. Are you still with me? They also created a high representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy. He will be in charge of the security of the European Union. And they will create a security force, because their main goal is to overtake the United States as the number one power of the world. The United States to fall short in finances. The treaty also made the Union's Human Rights Charter the Charter of Fundamental Rights legally binding. In other words, everybody's going to have a legal right. It goes so far to say that children will have rights. In other words, if your child wants to watch MTV, you have no right to tell him he can't. You have no right to tell your child they can't do anything. He has a right to do or be whatever he wants to be. Taking authority away from parents. It is ready to take place. The stage is set. But Paul tells us that the lawlessness or the lawless one or the son of perdition cannot come into power, cannot be revealed as yet. Because there is something restraining him. Amen. There is something that is holding the Antichrist back, holding the power of the Antichrist back. Are you ready for this? Who is this? It is the Holy Spirit in the blood-washed, blood-bought church of the living God. Can somebody say amen? The Bible said that we have power and authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents, and none which shall harm you. In my name you shall cast out devils. He has given us authority over the devil. The devil can't do anything unless we allow it. We are the restraining power. We're the ones that are holding back law. That's why they don't like us. That's why we're the enemy, because we stand for what is right. Oh, I wish somebody would get in with me. They don't like us. but they can't do anything with us, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Oh, I feel the preacher coming on. Amen. I want the devil to know, as long as I'm here, God will reign. As long as I'm here, you can't have your authority. Somebody said, who died and left you boss? Jesus. Oh, that's just good preaching right there. We have the restraining power. The Antichrist cannot come to power as long as the church of the living God, full of the Holy Spirit, blood bought, blood washed, is here. Cannot. Because Jesus, man, surrendered dominion of this world in the garden, but Jesus took it back on Calvary. As a matter of fact, when he came out of the tomb, he said, all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Then he turned around and said, you shall receive authority. Hallelujah. We are the restraining power. Turn around and tell your neighbor, we're the restraining power. Can I just drop this in your spirit? You're the restraining power in your home. You're the restraining power in your family. Tell the devil to get your hand off my children. Tell the devil to get your hand off my finances. Tell the devil to get your hands off my husband. Tell the devil to get your hand off my marriage. It is time for you to rise up and be what God called you to be. Oh, I don't know if I'm gonna get through this. I'm taken away. Well, there's a restraining power until the power's taken away. So apparently that one that's restraining is going to be moved out of the way so that the Antichrist can come to his power. You still with me? 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18 says, don't worry about them that are asleep. We can't do nothing about that. We won't perceive them. But there's going to be a shout and a trump of God, for the Lord will descend with a shout and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then you and I, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, shall be taken away, shall be caught up, shall be taken away, and forever shall we be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. I know it looks bad. Get ready. Jesus is about ready to come. We're about ready to leave here. Oh, this is good stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, Paul so said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. But we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal shall put on immortality. This carnal shall put on spiritual. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The Bible said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Amen. See, to the world, it's going to happen like that. To you and I, it's going to seem like a lifetime. We might be at work, we might be sleeping, because there'll be some at work and there'll be some sleeping. Don't matter where we are in church, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will just start shooting through us. We're going to feel the power of God like we've never felt him before. Chill bumps are going to set up on us. We're going to stay. Whoa, my God, what's happening? You know what's happening? The Holy Spirit is beginning to change you. He's beginning to transform you. We don't know what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him in all of his glory. Can somebody praise him? We'll say goodbye to sickness. We'll say goodbye to death. We'll say goodbye to pain. We'll say goodbye to the devil. We'll say goodbye to this world. We're out of here. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going away. You know where I'm going. They said, we don't know where you're going. He says, where I'm going to my Father's house. For in my Father's house are many mansions or abodes. I'm going to prepare one for you. But if I go, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. That where I am, you may be. Oh, I wish somebody would praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I know it looks bad. I know the world looks bad, but I'm not worried about what's going on in the world. I'm excited. Jesus is about ready to come. We're about ready to leave. It's all winding up. Are you still with me? It says, comfort one another with these words. The word Maranatha means the Lord is coming. Pastor, my company might shut down. Maranatha. Oh, Pastor, don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Maranatha. Woo, I wish somebody would praise him right now. The Lord is coming. It's all right. Somebody say amen. It's all right. So, Pastor, we can see all this is happening. We can see where. What do we do? I'm glad you asked. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 22, listen what it says. It says, rejoice always. In the good times, hallelujah. In the bad times, hallelujah. On the mountain, hallelujah. In the valley, hallelujah. Rejoice always. The word rejoice, listen to me, it can be celebrate. Someone said, does it bother you when people get up and jump and dance? I said, yeah, that everybody isn't doing it. Well, Pastor, I don't act like that. Don't give me that. You know when you were in the world and got drunk, you danced on tables. You acted like a fool for the devil. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then you get saved and you think it's all right to fold your hands. And if your football team is winning, you're real excited. Amen. I'd like to see some of you non-exciting people, non-emotional people at the Giants and the Jets games today. Amen. And then you come to church and praise the Lord. Listen to me. Jesus already won the battle. So it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It's all going to be all right. I can rejoice. I said I can rejoice. In sickness, I can rejoice. In health, I can rejoice. In the valley, I can rejoice. On the mountain, I can rejoice. Because on the mountain, he's the God of the mountain. In the valley, he's the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. When it's dark, he's the bright morning star. Glory to God. He's always with me. I can rejoice. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. How many knows there's power in prayer? It is time to get serious about prayer. If your children need to get saved, pray. If your husband needs to get saved, pray. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a woman availeth much. You have not because you ask not. If you ask anything in my name, it shall be given to you. Jesus said, hereafter, you're going to ask me nothing, but you're going to ask my Father in my name, and I'll give it to you that the Father might be glorified. We need to ask. We need to pray. We need to get a hold of God. There is power in prayer. Hallelujah. When it looks bleak, pray. When everybody else gives you a negative thought, find out what God says. Ask him, God, what do you think about this situation? He's going, I'm glad you asked. All you need to know, I'm God. There's nothing impossible for me. I'll never leave you, shake you. I'll go with you under the end of the age. I'm God. It's going to be all right. Are you still with me? In everything, give Thanks. I have a problem with Christian women. Boy, that's a beautiful dress. Oh, this old thing? I paid $10 for this at Walmart. I didn't ask you what you paid for it. Just say, thank you. Every one of you women know what I'm talking about. Oh, you look beautiful today. Oh man. Just say thank you. Me and Pastor Mike comes from Ohio. I'm bringing you in on this, not on my own. My wife from Tennessee. You go there, I mean, people are very, very, very friendly, especially down south. They wave at you as you drive by. They say things like, how do? I'll do what? I don't know. They're always saying, thank you. Thank you. I've opened up doors for people on Long Island, and they just walk by. And I go, you're welcome. You know what I'm talking about. You say, excuse me. If you're walking through and they're looking at something, you go by, you say, excuse me. I go to a cashier and I'm paying for food. And I'm giving it to them going, thank you. They don't say, you're welcome. They're taking my money, which is paying their salary, and don't say thank you. We need to be thankful. The Bible says be thankful in all things. Not thankful for things. There's some things I'm not thankful for, but I'm thankful in it. I was not thankful that when they told me my wife had cancer. I was not thankful when I knew my daughter had a miscarriage. But I was thankful in it because God is a healer. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? See, being thankful causes the devil to go, oh. Because when he's doing everything you got at you and you're still thankful, he can't handle it. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We used to have a sister in our church who'd stand up and testify, and she'd say, I want to thank God for waking me up this morning. I want to thank God for eyes to see, a mouth to talk, feet to walk on. I want to thank God for a made-up mind. I want to thank God for my pastor. I want to thank God for the mother of the church, Sister Rita. I want to thank God for a made-up mind that I'm going to make it to heaven and nothing's going to stop me. I want to thank God for saving me. We need to be thankful. Because everybody listen to me, if everything goes wrong, even the Jets lose. Everything goes wrong, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to be thankful. That you're not on your way to hell. That you were on your way to hell. He changed you. Your sins have been washed away. You're not what you used to be. You ought to be thankful. We need to be thankful. Oh, that's good preaching. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. In other words, what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, don't stop it. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our church. We need Pentecost. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Don't quench it. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Well, let me move on. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. You need to test things. Because the Bible says in the last days, there'll be false prophets out to deceive. Our first church, me and my wife pastored, I went in, and the first week was there, had a lady come up and introduce herself to me, told me she's pregnant for 2 years. I'm like, let's call the Inquirer. This is awesome. I said, what do you mean? She said, an evangelist came in. He had a little swimming pool. He called it the Pool of Bethesda. Told me I had to get in with him. I stood in with him. He grabbed my hands. He said, what do you want? She said, I want to have a child. He said, oh, the Lord just showed me you're pregnant. Now you've got to give so much money. She said, been 2 years, haven't delivered that baby yet. Gold dust appearing on your head. Come to our revival meeting. God will fill your teeth with diamond and gold. First time I heard that, I'm like, that's awesome. I'm going to follow that man everywhere he goes. I'm going to have him pray for me, fill my teeth, take it out. If God's going to fill your teeth, he's going to fill it with what he created there in the beginning. Be careful. Listen to me. If someone has a dream, as wonderful as it sounds, if it don't line up with the word of God, they've ate too much pizza. That's good preaching, Pastor. If someone's got a word for you and it doesn't line up with the word of God, say thank you and move on. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Told the first service, I'm going to tell you, can I get a little pastoral here? If you're eating here, don't pay for your food somewhere else. Amen. Send in your tithes and offerings to a television preacher who don't even know who you are. When you get sick, it's Pastor Fred that calls you. Not one of them will call you and sing happy birthday to you. Oh, that's good preaching. I need to move on. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Watch where you go on the internet. Do you realize, everybody listen to me, if you use Google and go anywhere, it belongs to Google, and they have it from now on. Do you realize anything you text is stored on your phone? You can delete it, it's still there, and it can be drawn out. Anywhere you go on your computer is stored. You'll get found out. Watch where you go. Watch what you look at. Watch what you hear. I'm going to take a moment and tell you this. Listen to me. The way the devil destroys a church is with division. God's mathematics are he adds, he subtracts, and he multiplies. Never divides. So if someone comes sowing discord, gossip, tell them your ear is not a garbage can. Put that garbage somewhere else. Oh, I think someone needs to amen the Lord right there. Because God's got great things in store for this church. Because we're living in the last days, is what he said. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The Holy Spirit is pouring out his spirit for an end time revival. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of what God is doing. I want to, with purpose, go into 2010. If the Lord doesn't come in 2010, don't matter. I'm looking for him in 2011. But I feel like John the Revelator, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm excited about what's taking place. I'm not worried about Iran having a nuclear bomb. I'm not worried about getting blown up. I'm looking forward to going up. Amen. The best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. Jesus is getting ready to come. Until he does, we have a work to do. We've got to be about his business. We've got to be with purpose. For we're living in the last days. Stand with me.